Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our continuing study of each phrase found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And this study is titled, Being Made Conformable Unto His Death. We want to remind you that you can access our verse-by-verse studies of a number of books of the Bible by going to BBFOhio.com and using our free sermon audio and video links. You'll find complete studies of Genesis, Mark, Galatians, Ephesians, Revelation, and others, along with playlists covering Bible doctrine, Bible prophecy, and series on the local church, Israel, dispensationalism, and other biblical topics. And did I mention, they are all free of charge, free to stream, free to download, and free to distribute as part of your own personal ministry to your own loved ones and community. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, titled, Being Made Conformable Unto His Death. This is part 1 of 2.
Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to close out our study of verse 10 that we have turned into a four-point sermon. Actually, I have a slide and I didn't mention that again. But over and over this last 3 or 4 weeks, once again, just talking to Michael just a few minutes ago, you know, about how that this is so important to know Him, the power of His resurrection. Let's read that if you're there. Beginning, just read verse 10 all by itself. I'm going to give everybody a second to get there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to open with prayer as some folks turn there. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. We do ask You to help us. Your Holy Spirit would be our guide. And Lord, that we would be sincere and honest before You in our own hearts. And we thank You for every word. Every word of God is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine. Man should live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And so we just ask, Lord, You help us in our time in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So as I said, Philippians 3:10, we're going to title it with the last words of the verse, Being Made Conformable Unto His Death. And as I said, this is the fourth of a four-part sermon on verse 10, given over a four-week period. We don't do that often, but sometimes it just it doesn't do justice to the Word to just skip and jump. And to know Jesus, the power of His resurrection and sufferings, is to be conformable unto His death. So let's read that. Verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So that's not the theme verse of Christianity in the 21st century mainstream evangelicalism. That this verse is rarely quoted. You don't see a lot of t-shirts and bumper stickers, and you don't see a lot of sermons with this verse as the main verse. Or what the closest thing that I've seen over the years that had potential was the WWJD movement. You remember that? Some of you don't, or you're in a coma. You remember the wristbands? But the WWJD thing even became a perverted thing, and what they did is, if it truly meant what would the Jesus of the Bible do, then, and there were some people who did have that mindset, but most of the people who wore those little WWJD things and had the hat and the t-shirt and the bumper sticker, they started with a fake Jesus. And so they asked, what would Jesus do? But it was this fake Jesus they had created in their own minds. And so it turned into, well, Jesus loves everybody. So we don't preach against sin. That's hateful. We don't preach against homosexuals.
We don't preach against fornicators and people shacking up. We don't preach against because Jesus is all love. So what would Jesus do? He would love everybody. Love, love, love.
And that's why WWJD became a fraudulent, anti-biblical movement. Because it was usurped. It was taken over by the Laodicean churches today, the mainstream evangelicalism. This is what Christ would do. What would Jesus do? Romans 15:3 says, "For even Christ pleased not Himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached Thee fell on Me." Oh, you get that? You want to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus, first of all, didn't live to please Himself. Amen. A lot of people, when they say, "Lord, I want Your will in my life. And since I know what that will is, I ask You to give me this particular job. I want this car. I want that house. I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that." That's their idea of praying for God's will. Because, yeah, He's a big, great big Santa Claus up in the sky. Or maybe a genie, and you're rubbing the bottle, you know? And you listen to some of the people, their requests. I want to give you one here. This really irks me sometimes. I've had parents come up and say, "Please pray for my son," or "Please pray for my daughter. They're up for this promotion or this job, or they're trying to get into this particular school. And I'm waiting for the rest. Because I know their kid. He's godless. She's a whore bag. Sleeping around. Or he's a pot-smoking waste. So what should your prayer be? Pray for my son who wants this promotion, wants this job, wants this and that, that he doesn't get it. Until he drops to his knees in repentance toward God. See? That's how you pray for people. Yeah. Some of you aren't convinced. I mean, I just tell them about a look on your face. Yeah. If you love them, that's how you pray for them. And when it comes to yourself, I've seen people take jobs, even move away to a far distant state or whatever. Sometimes that's God's will. But sometimes they do it because of the love of money. And then when they get there, their family goes to pot. Their life is destroyed. They walk away from the Lord. So what should they have been praying? They should have been praying, "Lord, if that job out there in that state isn't good for me, shut the door." Amen. Yeah. Christ pleased not Himself. Boy, it's just too bad that doesn't become a movement. That doesn't become the next big Bible verse you see on all the coffee mugs and the T-shirts and the hats. Yeah, they wouldn't make much money. The only way to be like Jesus is to die to self. That's the only way to be like Jesus. Stop thinking of yourself. Stop doing what you want to do. So, a preacher, I've heard you preach that a number of times. You're going to hear it until the rapture. And I'm not pointing out anybody here, but I'm just saying, I see it even in our own little church. Over and over and over and over. Self, self, self. With no reference to your little game. But people putting self, self, self in front of everything. Everything is about them. And then there's a lot of people who are hearing us on the radio, a lot of people hearing us on the internet. I just want to put a plug in here for BBFOhioRadio.com. It's amazing. We used to have a few dozen people listening all the time. Now we're up into the hundreds listening constantly. We had 340 some online this week at one point. And that's on 24 hours a day. So as the day goes on, you see these hundreds of people. It adds up to thousands of individuals who are listening to that radio station online. It's free of charge. BBF Ohio
radio.com. But there's all these people who are hearing this, and they'll write us, and they'll tell us, I have never heard preaching like that before. Well, listen, they're not just talking about Greg Miller. We put all of our preachers out on there. And it's not because we are such. It's because of the darkness of the day we live in. Used to be what I'm preaching right now, they'd call softballing it. I haven't told anybody you're going to hell yet. Back in the good old days, that's the first thing they said. So let's get that out of the way. If you're not saved today, you're going to hell.
Amen.
We love you enough to want to see you saved. Amen?
Amen.
This is Paul who said, in another place, follow me as I follow Christ. We just saw that Christ pleased not himself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily.
Amen.
I started counting. I counted over a dozen songs, both contemporary and some a little older, where people are in the, you can see them in the videos, they've got their hands in the air and they're going, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. So the first thing I'm going to do is go out and buy a self-help book. Some of you didn't get that. That's a contradiction. I want to be like Jesus. So I'm going to die to myself. I'm no longer the most important person in my life. I know this doesn't rhyme, but it's still better than their songs. You want to be like Jesus, lay down your life. And now, I'm not going to get into details because it sounds like I'm trying to brag on myself or anything, but I'm just going to tell you, there's times where people have accused me of being, you just, all that matters to you is what you want to do, and all that matters to you is you. They said that. I thought, wait a minute now. I thought, what would I be doing right now if this was about me? And again, I'm not getting into details, but I do take inventory, and that's what you ought to do. Because that accusation was coming from somebody who couldn't give a flip about Jesus. And what they saw was that I was wanting and trying to serve Him. I was spending my time and my efforts and a lot of my spare money to serve the Lord. And people who don't know Jesus, don't love Jesus, they aren't going to share your attitude, and then they're going to accuse you of being self-centered. And what they're going to answer to before God, if you're right with the Lord and you're living for the Lord and someone confronts you like that, they are going to be confronted by the Lord one day. And they're going to look Him face to face and say, you accused him or her of being self-centered when the reality is they were living for me. You didn't like the fact that they were living for me instead of serving you. You were trying to make you their God. I've seen it happen to parents. Parents have decided that their little baby is their God. And they will put off the Lord and everything to do with Him just to serve the little babies. Homeschool movement's filled with that kind of stuff. We were talking about the other day, it's become almost like a family cult where they worship the baby. And then I've seen people who have, this is going to sound funny, but I've seen people put their church before God. Put their church before Jesus. They're all about doing the things they got to do to make the preacher love them. They're more concerned with the preacher loving them than they are about Jesus loving them. That's why you don't. No, ain't nobody in here can stand up and say, accuse me of overworking them as a pastor. Because that's not how we operate here. I'm not going to go around and bug you, pester you. We have a work day. You show up, you show up. You don't, you don't. And I dare anybody to say that because they didn't show up for a work day, they were shunned.
Right.
Or I stood up the next week and preached against the lazy bums who come here and drink the coffee and eat the food and won't work. I guarantee you there are pulpits where that's going on right now and they call themselves fundamental Baptists. Yeah. Tearing up families so they can have a bus filled with kids so they can count big numbers. I'm not against big numbers. But that's not to be ahead of the person who is driving the bus, the teacher who's teaching the kids, and their personal relationship with the Lord first. And you don't crucify or just say, use them as expendables so you can brag about numbers. But that's what churches did big time up until recently, and they're still doing it. You wonder why there's all this. There's this big church. They had the biggest Sunday school in the country, and they also had the biggest sex scandals in the country. Amen. Go over to John chapter 10, if you would. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And if you're wondering, yes, I did get a good night's rest last night. Last week I came in with about 2 hours sleep. I don't even know what I did. What did I preach? Yeah. You weren't here, so you wouldn't know. All right, John 10, we're going to start there in verse 14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. That's just such a, that is a sweet verse right there. I mean, it's just, isn't that wonderful? Jesus knows you. You know Jesus. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Look what he says. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You want to be like Jesus? Underline that. Highlight it. Memorize it. I laid down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have. All of us Gentiles can thank God for this verse right here. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. We sang about that earlier. Aren't you glad you're a part of the family of God? Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Underline that. Memorize that. So you want to be like Jesus. And he says that I might take it again. The good part is if you die in Christ, he will raise you. That's, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, the power of his resurrection. Now read verse 18. Read that with me. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus, you want to be like Jesus, you lay down your life. Lay it down. Like he says, it wasn't taken from him. That's why it's stupid, all these anti-Semitic nutcases going around saying, the Jews killed Jesus! Well, they did. The Jews killed him. And then the Roman soldiers killed him. And you killed him. But none of us took his life. He laid it down. See? This commandment have I received of my Father. You want to be like Jesus? You obey the Father. Amen. And this isn't for you to answer out loud. Just a question. How many Christians surrender their lives to God? We talked about how people pray. But just the overall attitude. How many Christians surrender their lives to God? Now, I want to say this. There's some Christians who have surrendered their lives to God. And they tend to forget where it was they came from, what God has done in their lives. So sometimes Christians need to say, you know what?
I know that before I was saved, I was going down this road. I'm saved and I find myself going down this road. Now, most of us have taken a wrong turn once in a while and had to get back on the road. Right? That's what happens when you follow GPS instead of KJV. Amen? Greg's personal service. System, yeah. Greg's personal system. You have your own, I have mine. But when I go GPS, I go up, but you get back on KJV. See? But think about, not so you can brag about it or think too highly of yourself, but ask yourself, back when I got saved, I was on this road. Where would I be if I had not got saved? And a lot of you would be in a grave right now. Your body and your soul would be in hell. You see, I don't want you to think that you should linger on your past and get, you know, caught up in that and taken down. But I want you not to forget what God saved you from, see? You remember what God saved you from. And just the fact that you'd be in hell right now should be enough reason for you to say, I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus. I want Him to take control. That's why I said that, because this is not a message to put others down personally. It's not a message for me to point at you and say, you're so useless. That's not the point. It's to put us all down biblically. Amen? You see, what Christianity and what our church services, our meetings are supposed to be about is glorifying Jesus and His Word, which He Himself magnifies above His name. So if we got together, like too many churches do, and we don't really glorify Jesus by teaching any substance about Him, and all we're all about is you. And in His Word is not only not elevated, but you realize there's a lot of church meetings today where they won't even study the Bible. They might read a verse or two, but they won't actually teach the Bible. A lot of places you go and they're in some kind of a series, and their series, more times than not, has something to do with your money, or it has something to do with some kind of controlling you. And doesn't have anything to do with teaching you the Bible. Well, of course they're going to use a Bible verse or two. You know. Yeah. Because as we were talking about, Charlie said it a week or two ago, that you know, you can make the Bible teach whatever you want it to teach. All you have to do is take it out of context. Or like Satan, change the words a little bit. Or, you know, only quote part of it. And that's what happens in these churches. What? Use a different Bible. Yeah. Obviously, that's working for a lot of apostates. So, we all should at this point be humbled and think of Jesus in terms that are magnified. That's the point. The Bible says there is no one like Jesus. So that's what bothers me when I hear this, all this talk about, I want to be like Jesus. And they're talking about the here and now. And you get the feeling they think they are. And that's the height of blasphemy. And it's not healthy. It's not good for your personal walk with the Lord. First, I'm going to just run a couple of references here. Now tell me if I'm wrong. But 1 Samuel 2:2, this is Hannah, by the way. Hannah's prayer. If you don't know who Hannah is, read your Bible. 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. Jesus is our God. Amen. So it seems to be saying, none of you are like Jesus. Seems to be saying, your pastor, whether it's Greg Miller or whoever it is, he ain't Jesus.
He ain't like him. He don't even come close. Seems to be saying that. Now let's look at a note. David is speaking here in 1 Chronicles 17:20. O Lord, there is none like Thee. I want to be like Jesus. And my fake Jesus, who never preaches against sin and loves anybody. Of course you can be like that Jesus. Everybody can be like the fake Jesus. Amen. But like the Lord of the Word of God, your King James Bible? No. O Lord, there is none like Thee. Neither is there any God beside Thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. I love that. Isaiah 46:9, Isaiah speaking. Or well, Isaiah quoting the Lord. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. Say that with me. I am God, and there is none like me. Now that's going to bother people who, you know, have been taught that the goal of a Christian is to be like Jesus. And the goal of Christianity is to for everybody to be like Jesus. And then you say, well, the Bible says there's none like Jesus. And so you're starting to see that it may sound good when someone says, I want to be like Jesus. But you'll see the people who say that the most, they're usually the people who have that fake Jesus that they're living up to. And you can't talk truth to them. They won't hear it. They won't listen. And they have brought God down and put themselves up. Maybe not completely equal or above, but they're getting way too close. Jeremiah said in chapter 10, verse 6, forasmuch as there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, Thou art great, and Thy name is great in might. You should spend your time telling people how great God is and focusing on how great God is and allowing Him to rule and reign in your life. And if you do that, then you're going to see some amazing results. But this scam that's going on today, where they tell you to be like Jesus, and then they give you a fake Jesus to live up to, is producing what you see today among so many Christians. That word Christ-like, this might blow you away. Isn't it interesting that this word, nor anything close to it, is found in our King James Bible? You've heard the word Christ-like all your life. And some of you probably thought it was come from the Bible. And not like the Trinity, which is in the Bible. The doctrine of the Trinity is in the Bible, even though the word's not. The word Bible isn't in your Bible. But it is the Bible, the Holy Bible. So the word is legit because the word is really Biblos translated book. See what I'm saying? That's not the case with Christ-like. There's nothing in the Bible that even hints at this thing of being Christ-like. Why? Because it's really blasphemous to think about it like that. To be Christ-like, you really think you can be like Jesus? You've got an itty-bitty little Jesus in your mind.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.